And that's, in fact, what he says when he gives the very definition of happiness that he gives in chapter 7. For he says there that if we take the proper function of a human being to be a certain kind of life, namely the kind of life which is an activity of the soul performed in accordance with rational element, that is to say, lived out thoughtfully, or as I described it earlier, led, a human life being led, and if a person of high standards is the person who performs those actions well and properly, then, and here's the conclusion, the good of human being is an activity of the soul, understood now to be the activity in relationship to the cognitive or rational part of the soul. We'll say more about this in a minute. An activity of the soul in conformity with virtue. That is, in conformity with the notions of what would make for a good life of that sort. The notion of virtue that Aristotle here introduces in this description or definition of happiness is, I need not tell you, the same notion of virtue that we saw emerging in our discussion of Plato's Republic. Here, then, Aristotle introduces us to the notion of virtue, and he therefore naturally begins the second book of the Republic with a consideration of the nature of virtue. Saying this, again, to point out that it's not how we choose to live our lives, but how we choose to live good lives that is critically important here. Just to summarize the point I've been making in this discussion of Book 1 of the Ethics, we are in the arena of the normative, not simply of descriptive human anthropology. But let me strongly reiterate the important point that I've been stressing throughout, the point about Aristotle's naturalism, the fact that he reads the normative question as reasonably answered by attention to facts about ourselves as human beings, and that the question of how we ought to live our life doesn't demand reference to any standard that is outside the standard of human well-being. All right, so now we get, in any case, we get at the beginning of Book 2 of the Ethics, an account of the nature of virtue. And from here on in the discussion of the Ethics, the notion of virtue plays a central and fundamental role in the articulation of what it is to lead a good life. I want to stress here, as I stressed when we talked about Plato, how important it is to read Plato and Aristotle's ethical theory as centered in this notion of virtue, and how important it is to realize that for the Greeks in general, the question of a good human life was not primarily the question of what should I do or how ought I to act, not primarily that question, but primarily the question, what kind of a person do I want to be? What kind of state of character do I want to create within myself? Of course, the person that one wants to be, the state of character that one wants to develop within oneself is the state of character that will lead one to act properly, so that it isn't as though the question of virtue is, as we talked about when we talked about Plato, it isn't as though the question of virtue is independent of the question of action. But it's still the case that the primary focus is upon the development of states of character which will lead to certain actions, and the actions are to be understood as virtuous only when they emanate from those states of character. In Book 2, Aristotle says several things about the nature of virtue. They're not natural, that is to say, we're not born with them, but they're not contrary to nature. They are, in fact, and notice here that virtue is logically the same sort of thing as we talked about in the last lecture with respect to the capacities of the soul. They are, in fact, modes of what we might think of as second nature. That is, they are characteristics or dispositions, or we might say characteristic dispositions, which therefore, Aristotle goes on to say, are formed by habituation. And he stresses the point that although action is important, character is necessary in the structure of the moral life, but character is always itself formed by the modes of action. So virtue, just as the modes of first actuality that we talked about in the last lecture in talking about on the soul, virtue is an intermediate notion poised, as it were, between a natural capacity that an animal has realized in the form of a virtue and realized by the very activities that the virtue is a dispositional capacity toward. We may think about this simply in the following way. To be courageous is the capacity to act courageously in the right circumstances and in the right way when we're called upon to act so. And being courageous is something that we become habituated to by continuing modes of courageous action.